to the 37th Psalm, Psalm 37, and we've been speaking about the fruit of the Spirit, and this morning I want to speak with you about long-suffering. We have one more to go next week, and then we've gone through all nine of the fruit of the Spirit. Long-suffering or patience. The word long-suffering is translated in different ways in the English Bibles, and some of the times patience is the same as long-suffering, and some other times patience is not the same as long-suffering, because sometimes patience means endurance. But we're going to look at some of the scriptures which speak of patience in the context of long-suffering. Obviously, long-suffering means to suffer long. Long-suffering doesn't have anything to do with enjoying yourself. You don't have to be long-suffering when you're having a good time. Long-suffering really only has to do with times when things are not that great, when you're suffering, or when things are hard, or when there is a trial of your faith. And so we're going to look at some of these scriptures that speak about long-suffering. But Psalm 37, and it's a long psalm, but I want to read the whole of the psalm, because it's just very relevant. As I was going through it and said, well, maybe I'll read this section. I came to the next section and I said, well, I have to read that also. So in the end, we're going to read the whole of Psalm 37. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. For they shall be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plots against the just and gnashes at him with his teeth. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn the sword, and they have bent their bow, to cast down the poor and the needy, to slay those who are of upright conduct. Their sword shall enter their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall not be satisfied. They shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord, like the splendors of the meadows, shall vanish, and into smoke they shall vanish away. The wicked borrows and does not repay, but the righteous shows mercy and gives, for those blessed by him shall inherit the earth. But those cursed by him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I have been young and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken nor his descendants begging bread. He is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore, for the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever, but the descendants of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell in it forever. The mouth of the righteous shall speak wisdom, and his tongue talks of justice. The law of his God is in his hand, is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The wicked watches the righteous and seeks to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him that when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a native green tree. Yet he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Indeed, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the blameless man and observe the upright, for the future of that man is peace. But the righteous, the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The future of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in a time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they trust in him. And you'll see a lot of references here to those who wait on the Lord and to those who are patient with him. Now, each one of these studies, we began by looking at God and how that particular aspect of the fruit of the Spirit operates, or how that God is those things, how that God is love, and so on. And God, of course, is long-suffering. One of the things that we know about God is that he is patient and that he is long-suffering. Right in the beginning, in the in Moses' relationship with God, Moses said, God, I want to see you. Moses had had various meetings with God, but he said, I want to see the face of God. And God said, you cannot see me, but I will show you my hind parts, my back parts. And so God passes by Moses, and in Exodus chapter 34, it says, the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and in truth. The Lord is long-suffering. And so we see right through the Old Testament, one of the messages that just jumps out at you as you read the Old Testament, particularly God's dealings with Israel, is how long-suffering he is. That he didn't destroy Israel, that he didn't wipe them off the face of the earth, as I'm sure any man would have done long ago. And yet God is long-suffering with Israel. And even today, even though Israel has turned against God and has worshipped its idols and has forsaken the living God, he continues to love them. He continues to desire to see Israel restored. And we know that in the end, God will restore Israel to himself. In Romans chapter 2, it says, do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? One of the reasons why we have not been destroyed, why mankind has not been wiped off the face of the earth, is because God is long-suffering. God is long-suffering. And he's long-suffering because he wants us to come to repentance. He is not long-suffering because he is unwilling to execute his judgment. God executes his judgment when he needs to do so. But God is holding back. And in fact, that passage in Romans that we've just read goes on to speak about the fact that the wrath is being treasured up, is being stored up against the day of judgment. And so God will judge the wicked. But in the meantime, he is being long-suffering. Many people say, but, you know, if God is as good as you say he is, why is he allowing all of the crime and all of the murder and all of the stuff that happens in the world? Why does God allow these things to continue to happen? Because God is long-suffering. Because God is long-suffering. Because God is being patient with mankind, wanting to give mankind an opportunity to repent. And Peter says, many people say, well, why doesn't the Lord come? Why has he not come already? And the answer is, because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so God is being long-suffering. I'm sure that Jesus would have wanted to come long ago. I'm sure that God would have wanted to destroy the world long ago. But he is being long-suffering. He is giving every one of us an opportunity. He's giving the world an opportunity. And so we experience God's long-suffering in our own lives. Why am I still alive? Because God is being long-suffering with us. If God wasn't long-suffering, he would have destroyed us long ago. But because of his mercies, we are not consumed. And so the very fact that we are alive, the very fact that we are in the church this morning, the very fact that we have a desire to be in his house are all evidence of the fact that God is being patient and being long-suffering towards us. But if God is long-suffering with us, then we ought to be long-suffering with one another. Now, that's where the problem comes. It's easy to expect God to be patient with me, but it's another thing for me to be patient with others. And you remember that Jesus told the parable of a man who was forgiven a large sum of money by his employer. And he goes out from the presence of his boss, and he meets his fellow servant at the door, and the fellow servant owed him a small amount. And he says, pay up today. And the man says, I can't pay today, but give me time and I'll pay you. And he would not give him time. He would not be patient. He would not be long-suffering with his fellow servant. And he threw him into prison. And remember, Jesus said, this is a terrible thing. Now, what Jesus was doing was he was saying, God has forgiven us so much. God is being so patient with us. God is being long-suffering with us. And yet we demand of others that they change immediately when we're not changing immediately. We expect others to be like Jesus when I have not become like Jesus yet. We're so demanding of one another, particularly in marriages and in closer relationships, but even in the church and in society. If only we could become long-suffering the same way as God is long-suffering with us. Now, that doesn't mean that that makes wrong right, that we accept the wrong. No, we pray that people change. We pray that people come right, that they do the right thing. But we need to be long-suffering, continue to pray for them, continue to bear them up before the Lord, continue to bear with their irritations and the things that are wrong about them, because God is being long-suffering and patient with us. In Ephesians chapter 4, it says, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. With long suffering, bearing with one another in love. Now, that's something that we don't like to do. And in fact, the message and the emphasis of the world today is if the relationship doesn't work for you, get out of it. Why do you want somebody in your life that is not the perfect person, who's not doing exactly what you would want them to do? But in fact, the message of the Scripture is we need to bear with one another in love. We need to be patient and kind and enduring. Those things that don't always please us about in other people. Because the fact is that we all have our idiosyncrasies. We all have our quirks. We all have our strange things that upset and irritate other people. And we expect them to be patient with us. And yet we have great difficulty in being patient with them. But we need to bear with one another. That's a word, a phrase we don't use much today anymore. Bear. We say, bear with me because I'm long-winded. Or bear with me because of that. This or that or the other thing. But we need to bear with one another. We need to be able to carry one another with long-suffering and with love. In Thessalonians, he says, I exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. Be patient with all. Now, we can be patient with some people, but there are other people we just don't have patience with. And in every family and in every individual's life, there are people that we just don't have patience with. And yet we can be patient with others. Now, Paul says, be patient with all. Nobody is excluded. Now, you know, the amazing thing is that the people who we especially need to be long-suffering with are those who are the hardest to be long-suffering with. You don't have to be long-suffering with people who are easy. You have to be long-suffering with those who are hard, those who are difficult, those who irritate you, those who upset you. Those are the ones you have to be long-suffering with. Now, we want to be long-suffering as long as it's easy to be long-suffering. We want to be patient as long as it happens quickly. We'll be patient with one another as long as people play the game by our rules. But it's exactly those who are difficult and those who are otherwise that we need to be long-suffering with. God does not need to be long-suffering with those Christians who love Him and perfectly abide in His will and perfectly do what God wants Him to do. God doesn't have to be long-suffering with them. He enjoys them. He enjoys their fellowship. But God has to be long-suffering with those who are rebellious and otherwise minded. And in the same way, it's easy. We don't have to be long-suffering about people who are nice with us and people who we can relate to easily. But we have to be long-suffering exactly with those that we don't get along with. And so be patient with all. And then in Colossians, he says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another. So again, it's not something that we can say, well, you know, God hasn't made me long-suffering. I'm just not that way. Or God hasn't done this in my life yet. I'm waiting for God to do it in my life. Now remember, in all of these things, there is an aspect that God does in my life, that God gives me patience, teaches me patience, teaches me long-suffering. But there is also an aspect that I have to do. It's a cooperation between me and God. And so I can't say, and many people say, well, you know, God just hasn't made me long-suffering, and that's tough, so you just have to deal with it. No, we have to put on long-suffering. It's something we have to adopt. It's something we have to learn to do, something we have to learn to be. It's something we have to become. And that's not always, it's not always easy. Those people who are naturally long-suffering, well, they don't have a problem here. But most of us are not naturally long-suffering. And so we have to put on these things. Now, it's not only in our relationships with one another that we need to be long-suffering. The word long-suffering is also used in connection with times of difficulty and persecution and trials. In Romans chapter 12, Paul says, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation. Patient in tribulation. Now, when we find ourselves in tribulation, and obviously tribulation can be anything. It can be persecution, it can be sickness, it can be financial difficulty, it can be emotional distress, whatever it is. When we find ourselves in trouble, we need to be patient. And again, that's exactly when we don't want to be patient. That's exactly when we want the problems to pass. We want the good days to be last forever, and we want the hard days to pass very quickly. And yet somehow it seems to be the other way around. And so when we find ourselves in difficulty, we need to be patient. Because one of the things we always want when we find ourselves in difficulty is we want to get out. We want a solution. We want the problem to be taken away from us. But it's exactly then that we have to be patient. And remember that David in his psalm speaks about waiting patiently on the Lord. Why do the wicked prosper? And why is it so hard in my life? Be patient. Wait on the Lord. Because in due course, He will bring you out. And so we need to learn patience in times of hardship. It's then that we need to be enduring, that we need to be lasting, that we need to say, well, Lord, you know, teach me, help me to be patient. Now, how does He teach us patience? How does He give it to us? Well, unfortunately, it doesn't come in tablet form. We want most of these things in tablet form, so I can take a tablet of patience and now I have it. Or I can come to the front and have the preacher pray over me and now I'm going to have it. But unfortunately, the way that we get these things is through training. And how does He train us to be long-suffering? By putting us into situations where we have to endure. Putting us into situations where our patience and our long-suffering is being tested. And every time it is being tested, and we say, well, you know, I've been able to endure this difficulty. He's going to put us through another one which is even more difficult. So that I can learn a higher level of endurance. And sometimes these times of endurance, these times of trial become longer and longer. We say, but Lord, you know, it's never going to pass. But He's teaching us long-suffering. He's teaching us patience. He's teaching us endurance. And so we need to be patient in tribulation. In 1 Peter chapter 2, remember Peter is writing to Christians who are suffering for the faith, who are being fed to the lions and being persecuted by the Romans. He says, but when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before the Lord. He says, when you're doing the right thing, and you're still suffering if you take that patiently. Now, what's the opposite to taking it patiently? Rebelling against it. Fighting against it. Remember Paul kicking against the pricks. Why me, Lord? Why, I'm trying to live this good life. I'm trying to do everything you want me to do. And somehow everything is going wrong in my life. But when we take it patiently, that is commendable before the Lord. Now this takes us back to meekness. Remember we spoke about meekness. And meekness, remember what meekness was? Surrendering to the will of God. Saying, God has a plan. God has a purpose. God is taking me through this with something in mind, and I'm prepared to surrender to Him. Because when the time is ready, He will bring me out of it. But the problem is that we want to come out of it when it suits us. We want it to pass like yesterday. Instead of saying, Lord, let me surrender to You. Let me wait patiently on You. And in Your time, You will bring me out. And so they are commended before the Lord if we do good and we suffer with patience. We need to be long-suffering in waiting for the Lord to fulfill His word. Now, remember, it's not, Peter reminded us, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises. We don't have to be patient with the Lord because He's not fulfilling His word, or because He doesn't want to fulfill His word, or because He is slow in fulfilling His word, but because God has a plan. And God is working out His plan in our lives, and so sometimes God's timetable is not my timetable. God's timetable maybe takes a little longer to achieve the things and do the things that He's trying to do in my life, and He's trying to do in the lives of people around us. And so things don't just happen when we want them to happen. And so we have to be patient in waiting for the Lord to fulfill His word. And so sometimes we say, well, Lord, why hasn't Jesus come yet? Lord, why hasn't this happened in my life? Lord, why aren't these things happening in our church? Well, we need to be patient in waiting for the Lord to fulfill His word. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 15. And so after He had patiently endured, He obtained the promise. How long did Abraham have to wait for the fulfillment of the promise? Well, those who've been with us for a while will remember. Some of the promises, he had to wait 2,000 years for Jesus to come. One of the other promises he had was a city which had builder and foundations, whose builder and maker was God. That promise was 5,000 years in the future. But when he waited patiently. You see, many of the promises of God don't happen in our time scale. Our time scale is minutes and hours. We have difficulty in seeing things a few days, a few months, let alone a few years ahead of time. And if God says, well, you know, I'll do it in a few years' time, we're just not interested. You know, if at the very best, at the very worst, it has to be in a few months. But ideally in a few minutes. But God does not deal in minutes and in hours and in months. God deals in thousands of years sometimes. And sometimes God's fulfillment may be a long, long time off. And one of the things that made Abraham this great man of faith was because he patiently endured. He patiently waited for the Lord to fulfill the promises that he had made. In Psalm 37 that we read, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Wait patiently for the Lord. Remember that 1,000 years is one day with God, and one day is 1,000 years. Now, we have difficulty with that because we just cannot relate to these long times. Why is it taking so long? But remember that God is working slowly but surely. And God is steadily working out His plan in our lives, in the lives of those around us, in the lives of our church, and in the plan and the purpose of this world. And as we saw this morning in the book of Revelation, that some of those things that He predicted happened on the day and the week and the month and the year that it was predicted, that it was worked out and calculated. And so Jesus is going to come on exactly that minute that was predetermined at the foundation of the earth. The exact minute. Not 1 minute late, not 1 minute early. At the exact minute. But that minute may be thousands of years away for those who were in the beginning of the faith. And so we have difficulty with these things because we can only see close by. Remember, we have this problem with being short-sighted because we can only see in terms of days and weeks and months, and maybe we can see to the end of this year. That's about as far as most of us can see. But God sees thousands of years in the future. Abraham was able to see thousands of years. Moses was able to see thousands of years, and therefore they were able to endure 40 years for Moses in the wilderness. We say, well, that's a long time. How can you endure 40 years of frustration? Here's this man, highly intelligent, trained in all the skills and all of the science and all of the abilities of the Egyptians. And he's wasting all of these things for 40 years looking after sheep. Maybe 1 year, but 40 years, that's a long, long time. That's longer than most of us have lived. I think only John has lived longer than that. That's a long time. And yet God was working out his plan. God was preparing Moses for his plan. And then he had another 40 years of looking after the people of Israel. So God is patient. God's timetable is just not our timetable. So let's patiently wait for him. Romans chapter 2 verse 7 speaks about eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. Patiently continuing. Now sometimes we become patient, or we deal with our patience or with our lack of patience by not continuing, by opting out. And so let's go back to the story of Moses, 40 years in the wilderness, looking after sheep. We say, well, you know, Moses ran out of patience after 2 years, let's say. So what's he to do? Well, either he can patiently continue, or he can say, I'm out of here. I'm going to find something else to do. I'm going to go somewhere else. I'm going to make my own thing happen. But he patiently continued. Patience means I have to continue. Patience means I just have to stick to it and wait for the right time when God is going to do whatever God plans to do. And so patiently continuing. But we also need to be long-suffering. Now let's see where we've been. We spoke about the Lord's long-suffering. We need to be long-suffering with one another. We need to be long-suffering in trials. We need to be long-suffering in waiting for the Lord to fulfill His word. And finally, we need to be long-suffering in waiting for the Lord to return. And one of the accusations that Peter made reference to, Peter saying, people say, where's he coming? From the beginning, things just seem to be going the same. And that's one of the things that many people in the world are saying, and many Christians in their hearts are saying. Where's the second coming? They've been speaking about this for a long time. They've been preaching that Jesus is coming soon, and he's just not coming soon. And you'll find quite a few scriptures that make reference to the fact that we need to be patient and long-suffering. James says in James chapter 5, verse 7, therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Don't be patient for the first 2 years. Be patient until the coming of the Lord. Right through to the end. How long is that going to be? I don't know. I think it's going to be soon. But you know, when I left school a couple of years ago, I believed he was going to come that year. That was about 36 years ago, I think. I can't remember. That was a while ago. I still believe he's going to come soon. And I still believe he's going to come this year. And so we need to be patient until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and the latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. James 5, 7 through 8. So he's saying, in the light of the Lord's coming, we need to look at the farmer. What does the farmer do? He takes the seed, he puts it in the soil, and he waits patiently. Now, depending on what crop you're growing, if you're growing oranges, he has to wait 5 years. Some other crops, he has to wait longer. Year after year, just watching and waiting for the day that he will receive a harvest. And he's saying the same way as a farmer patiently waits until the harvest, we need to patiently wait for the coming of the Lord. Don't give up. Don't despair. Don't change your mind and say he's never going to come. And in fact, you remember there was a man in the Gospels that Jesus spoke about that did exactly that. Matthew chapter 24 verse 48 says, if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour that he is not aware of. So Jesus warned about the possibility that there would be people who saying, Jesus is delaying his coming. He's not coming. They run out of patience. And so what do? They begin to abuse their privilege. They begin to abuse their position in the church. They begin to involve themselves in things of the world, to eat and drink with the drunkards. And exactly that moment that they don't expect him, that's the moment that he arrives. And so why did Jesus tell us that parable? Because we need to be patient until the coming of the Lord. How long has it been? You've been waiting. I've been waiting, as I said, I don't know, I can't remember, 37 years, 38 years. I've been waiting for the Lord to come. But you know, it's just that day when you think you're going to give up, that he's not going to come. That's just when he's going to come. And so let me be patient. Let me be faithful, because he's coming. And he is coming is sure. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 3, remembering without ceasing your patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul commends the Thessalonians because of their patience of hope. Patience of hope. You see, one of the problems we have about hope is that when it doesn't happen when we expect it, we begin to despair. When we hope for something, when we hope for that ship to come in, and the ship doesn't come in, eventually we give up on that hope. But in fact, when we put our hope on the coming of the Lord Jesus, and that is our hope, the resurrection and the coming of the Lord Jesus and the rapture of the church, that is our hope. And so he says that we need to have the patience of our hope in the Lord Jesus. And in 2 Thessalonians, he says, the Lord direct your hearts into the patient waiting for Christ. The patient waiting for Christ. Now, are we still patiently waiting for Christ? I'm not asking you whether you believe in the second coming. That's not the question. The question is, are we patiently waiting for his coming? Are we still looking out for his coming every day and saying, Jesus could come back today? Or have we become like that evil servant and say, well, the Lord is delaying his coming. And we begin to put our focus somewhere else. We begin to put our hope in other things. We begin to put our hope in material things, in this world, in our retirement, in our jobs, in our careers, whatever it is. That we've begun to put our focus there because we've lost faith in his return. Or are we patiently waiting for the Lord to come back? Are we patiently waiting for him? Is our focus on him? Are our eyes on him? Are our eyes on the skies and saying, maybe today Jesus is coming back? When we see the sun setting, we see these beautiful sunsets these last few days. We see the sunsets, the sun setting. Do we say, maybe that's the last sunset we'll see, because Jesus may come tonight? When we get up in the morning, do we say, this may be the last time I'll get up, because Jesus may come today? When we changed our clocks last night, did we say, maybe this is the last time we have to change our clocks, because Jesus will come before the end of the summer? Is that where our hope is? Or have we lost sight of that? Is our hope somewhere else? Have we just pushed it out of our minds and said, it's just not happening. Jesus is just not coming back again soon. Or maybe it's not going to be in my lifetime. Or maybe it's going to be never. Or am I patiently waiting for His return? And so I need to be long-suffering with those around me. I need to be long-suffering in tribulation. I need to be long-suffering in waiting for God to fulfill His promises. I need to be long-suffering in waiting for Jesus to return. Colossians chapter 1 verse 11. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Now, look at that again. Colossians 1 verse 11. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power for patience and long-suffering with joy. God can strengthen us to be more long-suffering. That's my prayer for you. That's my prayer for myself. That God would strengthen us with His glorious and mighty power that we may be more long-suffering. But not just long-suffering, but long-suffering with joy. Now, that's a connection we don't often make. When we speak about long-suffering, we speak about grinning and bearing it. About gritting our teeth, or somehow just seeing it through. But here he's speaking about the fact that God needs to strengthen us with His power that we may be long-suffering with joy. With joy. Now, that seems to be strange. How do you connect suffering with joy? How do you connect suffering with joy? Well, as you know, that's one of the things the New Testament does over and over. And the Old Testament connects suffering with joy. Being able to understand that God is working out His plan. And the darker the night, the closer we are to the dawning of the day. The more terrible things become in the world, the more wicked the world has become, the more apostate the church has become, the closer we are to the revelation of Jesus. And so, let's be long-suffering, not just long-suffering, but long-suffering with joy. Father, as we talk about these things, we often pray, Lord, that You would help us to be patient, and yet, Lord, we expect it to be a miracle, and we don't want to go through these times that You put us through, in which You teach us and train us to be patient and to be long-suffering. But Lord, we want to be like You. Lord, who You've been waiting for thousands of years for Israel to repent and to turn back to You. And yet, Lord, we expect others to repent immediately. Help us, Lord, to be patient with one another. Help us, Lord, to be long-suffering with our unsaved friends and family. Help us, Lord, to continue to pray for them. Help us, Lord, to never lose sight of the fact that You can and will fulfill Your promises. Help us, Lord, to be long-suffering and be patient in waiting for You to fulfill Your word. And Lord, You've made promises in Your word, and some promises You've made personal to some of us. And Lord, yet sometimes we don't know whether You ever will fulfill those promises, but we thank You that You are sure and that You are steadfast and that You will fulfill Your promises. But Lord, we need to learn to be patient. Help us to be patient with You. Help us, Lord, to be patient and enduring and to be long-suffering in waiting for Your return. And Lord, forgive us for giving up sometimes. Forgive us, Lord, for turning aside to other things and getting involved in other things because we find those distracting us from the fact that You're just not coming when we expected You to come. But Lord, help us to be patiently waiting for You. Strengthen us with might, Lord, that we may be long-suffering with joy, that we may reflect You to one another and to the world. We ask this in Jesus' name. Part us with Your blessing, go with us, keep us and protect us, but above all, shape Your Son into our lives, mold us to become like Jesus. And Lord, even through the experiences of the rest of this day, we pray that it may be a continual process of becoming more and more like Jesus. And so we pray that You'd go with us and be with us. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.